Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Mem Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find 12 lines from the top of Daf Mem Dalid. Before we go into the Mishnah itself, we glance at the side where we see a Nosei/Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic, Mivneh is structural note, the trapezoid or volcano looking shape. You will see in the Mishnah one of our series markings, Chumros Shiesh Bechol Echod Midine Nozir. Stringencies that are unique to each one of the three primary Nazir laws or Nazir restrictions. The three are Tumah, the prohibition to defile to the dead, the prohibition of Giluach of a haircut, and the prohibition of vine products, example, wine, etc. The Mishnah. Shlosha minim asur b'nazir. There are three categories of prohibition in Nazirus, Hatumah v'hatiglachas, Tumah, defilement, tiglachas, the haircut prohibition, by yotzi min hagefen, that which is produced from grapevines. Chomer b'tumah u'b'tiglachas mi b'yotzi min hagefen. There are stringencies that are unique to tumah and tiglachas more so than the vine prohibition. Shahatumah v'tiglachas soisrin. If a nozir defiles himself to the dead, or he takes a haircut in the middle of his nazirus, sosrin, it undoes the days that he has counted. It undoes his nazirus by yotzi min hagefen eino sosir. But if he drinks wine in the course of his nazirus, or eats grapes, etc., that does not undo his nazirus. There is a sin in doing such, but it doesn't erase the days that he counted. Chomer b'yotzi min hagefen, the stringency you find by the vine products, mi betuma u betiglachas, more so than defilement and haircuts, shayotzim ragefen luhuter michlolo. We find no permission, no allowance for a nazir under any circumstances to consume grape products. Vetuma betiglachas hutru michlolon. When it comes to defilement and haircut prohibition, we find that during the Nazirus, there is an allowance for these prohibitions. And what are the examples? So regarding haircuts, b'tiglachas mitzvah, that would be a situation where a Nazir, during his Nazirus, became a mitzora. He became defiled by tzoras. Tzoras is a skin discoloration accounted for by the Chumash, by the Torah. And at the conclusion of that defilement period, the tzaras period, a haircut is mandated. That haircut is to be taken even though he is in the midst of Nazirus. Uvameis mitzvah, this has to do with the prohibition against defiling to the dead. If a nozir is walking along the way in a very secluded area, and he chances upon a body that is lying dead in the open, he, the nozir, is required to bury and hence defile himself to that body. V'chomer b'tuma mi b'tiglachas, a stringency in defilement over haircuts. Tshatuma soseres hasakol v'chayev amalei hakorban, if a nozir defiles himself to the dead, so whatever amount of days that he has counted toward his nazirus, he loses all of them. Even in the case of a lengthy nazirus period, more than 30 days, if he defiles himself in the midst of that nazirus, he loses all of the days, and he also has to bring a set of sacrifices in order to resume the counting of the Nazirus in a pure state. The Tiglachas, however, a Nazir in the midst of which he takes a haircut in the midst of his Nazirus, so Einos Aseres Elishloshim, it erases but only up till 30 days. And, in other words, he loses 30 days of Nazirus counting, and no more than that. V'ein Chayovin Ola Korban. And when he finally does resume his Nazirus counting, so he doesn't have to bring a sacrifice for having violated the haircut prohibition. The Gemara from here till the end of the Omid assumes, let's say, one pattern of thinking, and you can see diamonds appear, one of our series markings, along with the appearance of a double underline and some dashed underlining. What is the point of all of this? So we look once again on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading. A diamond is featured, and we've written Hatzaos Shein Neged Ma Shekotoni BaMishnah, suggestions. The Gemara does this from time to time. It offers suggestions that it really intends to refute. However, the method of refutation, the source of refutation, is really of what's primary interest to us. Nevertheless, suggestions are put forward that are actually against that which is stated in the Mishnah, and they are benuyos mi kal v'chomer. They're constructed through kal v'chomer logic, and we've used a dash underlining each time the kal v'chomer appears, is introduced. And these are benuyos mikal v'chomer midinim achirim, based on other laws. So using other laws, we construct the kal v'chomer v'al ha-gemorah lidchois oisam. And it's the Gemara's job to refute the logic. Rov ha-dechiyos yu'al pi psukim. Most of the refutations will be based on the Gemara's citation of psukim to contradict the kal v'chomer logic. In other words, to serve as a source of refutation. In other words, the logic might seem quite tight, but in the face of a pasuk, we will have to yield our logic in favor of what the pasuk teaches. So this scheme will be quite repetitive as we go down the Omid. The double underlining we've mentioned in our introduction, under the lidchos, means it's at each point that the Gemara refutes the suggestion, the double underline will appear. So you have the diamond introduces the suggestion, the dashed underline introduces the kal v'chomer logic, and the double underline, finally, the refutation. And now the Gemara. V'tuma lo tutar b'chlola. When it comes to Tumah, we should not allow any compromise on defilement. Kal v'chomer miyayin. Now, in the Mishnah, we suggested that the prohibition of Tumah could be compromised in the case of chancing upon an unaccounted for, an unburied body. Well, let us say to the contrary, that it should not, lo tutar from the word heter, should not be allowed from Michlola, from its category of prohibition. We should not allow kal v'chomer miyayin, using kal v'chomer logic based on the wine halacha. Uma yayin she'eino soser lo hutar michlolo. Mind you, wine which has this leniency to it, that it doesn't result in erasure, in losing Nazirus days, even if one did drink the wine. So it has that element of leniency. It's eino soser, yet lo hutar michlolo. We find no allowance for drinking of wine for the nazir. Tumah shesoseres. Tumah has a stringency already built into it that it does cause loss of days. Eino din shelo tutar michlolo. And all the more so, it should not have any compromise on the prohibition. Talmud Lomar, the posuk says otherwise. La'oviv uli'imo lo yitamo. The Pasuk mentions al kol nafshei smeis lo yavo. It tells us that the Nazir is not allowed to defile himself, and then it mentions, itemizes a father, a mother, and it goes on and with other relatives even, why the necessity to itemize when the Pasuk already gave a general prohibition? All dead bodies are prohibited for him to defile too. So the fact that the Pasuk itemizes Aviv and Imo, we have the right to infer as follows: Lo Aviv Imo Lo Yitama, to father or mother who die, the Nazir is not allowed to defile himself. Avo Metamehu La Meis Mitzvah, but he is allowed to defile himself to for the sake of burying the lone body. Fiyayin, new suggestion, Yutar Micholo. We should make an allowance for a Nazir who, let us say, had sworn to drink wine, and then he took the Nazirus pledge. So we should say, well, someone like that, even though the Nazirus is a prohibition, represents a prohibition of wine, but nevertheless, he did have an oath to drink wine. So let us allow him to compromise his Nazirus for the sake of fulfilling his oath. And why should we allow that? Kal v'chomer mituma, using kal v'chomer logic from the realm of defilement. Ma tuma shi soseres, mind you, tuma, which has this aspect of stringency, that it is soser, yet hutar michlala. We find by the Meis Mitzvah an allowance, an exception to the rule of prohibition. Yayin she'eno soser, yayin, wine which is even more lenient insofar as it doesn't soser, eino din she'yutar michlala. All the more so we should yield and make an allowance for him to drink in the case of a Nazir who had sworn to drink wine. And yet we don't allow him, even had he sworn to drink wine. Omar, the Pasuk says, Miyayin v'shecha yazir. And from this phrase, from this Pasuk, we learn, Lesser yayin mitzvah ki yayin rishus. The Torah mandates, instructs, or demands of a Nazir to refrain from wine, even if it's mitzvah, commandment-oriented wine, no different than he must refrain from optional wine. New suggestion. V'yayin yistor es hakol kal v'chomer mituma. Upon drinking wine, let us say that the Nazir loses all the days that he counted up till that point, using kal v'chomer from tuma. Ma tuma shehutra michlolo soseres es hakol. Tuma, which has an aspect of leniency in that we allow its compromise in the case of the Meis Mitzvah. And yet, if a Nazir becomes Tomei, he loses all the days that he counted. Yayin shelo hutar michlalo, yayin, wine which we saw, there is no leniency, no compromise on its prohibition. Lo kol shekein shistur, all the more so, it should erase the days that he counted, if he had, of course, drunk wine during his Nazirus. Omar kro, Pasuk says no. Vayomim orishoni yiplu ki tomei nizro. And from this we learn, tumo soseres vein hayayin soser. Defilement causes the loss of days, not wine. Vatiglachas tistores hakol mikal v'chomer, kal v'chomer mitula. A new suggestion. We mentioned in the Mishnah that haircut in the middle of Nazirus causes a loss of 30 days to allow the hair to grow back. You need 30 days of hair growth, but that's it. He doesn't lose any more than 30 days in the case of a haircut in the midst of Nazirus. The suggestion here is that a haircut in the midst of Nazirus should cause him to lose all the days that he counted. If it's if he had taken an oath of a 100-day Nazirus, and on day 90 he took a haircut, he should have to count another 90 makeup days in addition to the 10 days that he still has in balance. And yet we don't say that. But according to kal v'chomer logic, we should say that the haircut should result in tistores hakol kal v'chomer mituma. Uma tuma shelo osu bo mitame kimitame. So yiseres es hakol. In the realm of defilement, you find an area of leniency, and that is, a Nazir himself who becomes defiled, so he is, let's say he is guilty, he is in violation of his Nazirus. But if someone, let us say, threw a piece of corpse meat, corpse flesh on a Nazir, he is not considered in violation of a negative command. It's not a nice thing to do, but it's not classified as a, let's say, a formal sin. So in the realm of Tumah, you find an element of leniency in contrast to the haircut, which we'll see in a minute, and that is that the perpetrator is not considered guilty, as is the one who has become defiled. Tiglachas she'osu bo megaleach kemezgaleach, a person who cuts the hair of a nazir, he too is in violation of a negative command. Would be here the perpetrator is just as guilty as the subject of the haircut. So eino din shetistor es hakol, that by all means, and all the more so that tiglachas, if a nazir takes a cut in the midst of his nazirus, he should lose all of the days that he has counted. Omar kra, and yet we do not say thusly. The pasuk says vayomim orishonim yiplu ki tomei nizro. Tuma soseres esakol, v'ein tiglacha soseres esakol. From the pasuk we learn that only tuma causes loss of all the days that he's counted, but haircuts do not cause the loss of all of the days. It causes, as we said, the loss of 30 days. The tuma nase bo mitame ke mitame kalvachomer mitiglachas. In the realm of defilement, contrary to what we said before, let us say that the perpetrator of defilement should be guilty just like the nazir who allowed himself to become defiled. Kavachomer mi tiglachas, uma tiglachas she'eino soseres elo shloishim, also bo migaleach kemisgaleach, tiglachas has the leniency of that only 30 days are lost, and yet the one who administers the haircut is just as guilty as the nazir who allows himself to receive the haircut. Tuma she soseres as a kol, tuma which undoes all of the days that he's counted. Eino din shenase bo metame ki metame. All the more so, the perpetrator of the tuma should be just as guilty as the nazir who became defiled. Omar kra v'time roish nizroi. And from this pasuk we learn la mitame rosh nizro, the tuma is a problem, is a source of guilt only for the nazir himself that allowed his nazirus to become defiled, not the perpetrator, not someone who may have thrown some corpse flesh on the nazir. V'tiglachas lo na'aseh bo migaleach kemisgaleach. When it comes to the haircut issue, let us not hold guilty the perpetrator as we do the nazir who received the haircut. Kal v'chomer mituma. Uma tuma shiso seres es hakol. Mind you, tuma which has this stringency of losing all of the days, and yet lo osu bo mitame kimitame, we do not view the perpetrator as the nazir himself who became defiled. Tiglachas she'eino soseres elo shloshim yoim, tiglachas which is even more lenient in the sense that he loses only 30 days. Lo kol shekein shelo naase migaleach kimisgaleach, all the more so we should not hold guilty the perpetrator of the haircut as the nazir who received it. Omar kra, the pasuk says to the contrary though. Tar lo yavor al rosho. That's the pasuk itself, and kri bay, we have a right by force of the oral law to read lo yavor hu v'lo yavir le acher. The word is not only a reflection of the subject of the haircut, but v'lo yavir le acher means not someone else either. In other words, the negative command of lo yavor is also lo yavir le acher, which means as an outsider, someone else, a second party, shall not administer the haircut to the nazir either. He too is then included in the negative command. New suggestion, v'tiglachas lo tutar michlolo, kal v'chomer miayin. the haircut should not be allowed. We said that there was an exception in the case of the Nazir who experienced Tzara'as, and upon the conclusion of the Tzara'as he takes a haircut. Well, we shouldn't allow that. Kal v'chomer miyayin, uma yayin sheino soser lo hutar michloloi, yayin which does not cause any loss. Yet, there's no exception made for it. Tiglachas shesoseres eino din shelo tutar michlolo, haircuts which do cause time loss, certainly then we should not allow it. Omar Rahmana, the Pasuk says in the case of Mitzora, there are what appear to be extra words. Rosho, the Omar Rahmana Zikono. These are words that we focused on in our recent Shiurim, demonstrating how they show that a Nazir that became a Mitzora is expected, is commanded to take his haircut at the conclusion of the Tzara'as, even though the individual is in the midst of a Nazirus period. V'tiglachas lo tistor klal kal v'chomer miayin. Let us say that haircuts should not be responsible for any loss of time. Kal v'chomer from the issue of wine. Uma yayin shelo hutar michlolo eino soser. Wine for which there is no exception made, yet it doesn't cause any loss. Tiglachas shehutra michlolo. Haircuts which we find compromise on its prohibition in the case of Mitzora, eino din shelo tistor, then all the more so it shouldn't result in any loss. The Gemara responds and says, as much as it as convincing as this argument sounds that there should be no loss, yet bo'ino gidul seir v'haleka. And Nazir, upon conclusion of Nazirus, part of the requirements are that the Nazir cuts his hair. And if you're going to say that the haircut that he took in the middle of Nazirus doesn't result in any loss of time, well, when he comes to the conclusion of his Nazirus, he doesn't have 30 days of hair growth on his head. So, in order to ensure that there's 30 days of hair growth on his head, he has to wait 30 days before he can conclude the Nazirus and resume the drinking of wine. And that's, once again, just in order to achieve the necessary minimum 30 days of hair growth at the end of his Nazirus. V'yayin yistor shloshim yom kal v'chomer mitiglachas. Wine drinking should be the cause of 30 days of loss using kal v'chomer logic from the issue of haircuts. Uma tiglachas shehutra michlolo. Soiseres, haircuts which we have found a leniency in the case of the Mitzora, and yet it causes a loss. Yayin shalohutur michlolo eino din shiyistar, the drinking of wine which we find no exception for it, certainly it should be the cause of loss of time. So from this logic, from the area of haircut, which is viewed as an area of leniency relative to the wine, and yet the haircut causes loss of time, so the yayin issue certainly should cause a loss. The Gemara says, not so. And here, we're not refuting this with a pasuk, but with logic. Midi hu taimo elo mishum gidol sear. The issue of the haircut causing loss of time. The whole reason for that loss of time is to ensure that at the end of the Nazirus he has 30 days of hair growth on his head. Gabi yayin, regarding a Nazir that drank wine in the midst of his Nazirus, hakoyim sairo, the hair is still in place, so there's no need for any delay in the conclusion of his Nazirus in order to ensure 30 days of hair growth, because it's there. It wasn't tampered with by his drinking of the wine. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. You notice a new Mishnah. A marking appears around the two opening words, Tiglachas Tuma. The Mivneh structural note indicates that we are using this marking to highlight the beginning of this Mishnah and the next Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey Omen Aleph, though it will most likely be part of our next shir, Emir Tzashem. Nevertheless, it enables you to see a contrast between these two Mishnayas, Tiglachas Tuma versus Tiglachas Tahara. Tiglachas Tuma naturally is a case of a Nazir who in the midst of his Nazirus became defiled to the dead. He has a 7-day waiting period, at which point he then takes a haircut, which is referred to as Tiglachas Tuma, and then starts his Nazirus counting afresh. The Mishnah. Tiglachas Tuma, Ketzad Hoyo, Maze, Bishlishi, Bishvi. The Mishnah opens up with the question of Tiglachas Tuma, Ketzad. How is this to be understood? So, Hoyo Maze, Bishlishi, Bishvi. After being defiled to the dead, there is the Pora Duma water ash mixture that's sprinkled on him on the third day and the seventh day of his week of purification following the defilement. Umegaleach b'shvi, on the seventh day he takes the required haircut. Umevi korbanoisov b'shmini, and on the next day he brings the required sacrifices. They are an osham, a chatos, and an ola. Vim gilach b'shmini mevi korbanos of bo bayom divrei Rabbi Akiva. If he took his haircut not on the seventh day but on the eighth day, he nevertheless brings those sacrifices on that very day. Regarding this issue, you will see Rabbi Tarfon questioning. Omar le Rabbi Tarfon, uma ma bein zeh limitzora. I heard from you, says Rabbi Tarfon to Rabbi Kiva, that a mitzora who, upon the conclusion of his tzoras, he takes a haircut, and on the next day he brings sacrifices. A mitzora that took his haircut instead of the seventh day of purification, if he took his haircut on the eighth day of purification, he brings sacrifices only on the next day, on day nine. But you, when it came to Nazir, you taught us that if he took the haircut on day eight instead of day seven, he'll bring the Nazir Tuma sacrifices on the very same day, not wait a day later. Omar Lei, Sir Bikiva answers, Ze Taharoso Tluyo Biyomov, the Nozir, his purification is totally dependent on days. Therefore, the Nozir who immersed himself on the seventh day, the immersion is the immersion in a mikveh, at the end of the seven purification days, he brings his sacrifices on day eight, even if he happened to take his haircut on day eight. His purification is totally, say, day-oriented. And as such, the bringing of sacrifices, we'll say, inevitably is brought on the day after he has achieved his purification. So that the Nazir has a seven-day purification period. We mentioned there's the sprinkling of the red heifer ash water mixture on the third and seventh days. Then on the seventh day, immersion in the mikveh, followed by sundown. He's completed his tahara requirements. Next day, bring the sacrifices. That's what we've said as far as Nozir. Umitzora, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Kiva says, tahara so tliu b'tiglachoso. V'eino mei v'korban elim ken hoyim urav shemesh. The mitzora achieves purification from his tzoras not only by waiting the requisite number of days, we said 7 days, but he also needs the haircut to achieve purification. Therefore, if the haircut wasn't done on the seventh day, it was done on the eighth day, so the former mitzora following the haircut needs to have sundown. We didn't mention it too explicitly before, but following whatever, let's say, elements of purification that are necessary, they're always followed by sundown. Sundown is the concluding phenomenon or concluding action, if you will, of any purification period. You can have sundown for a one-day tumah period, one sundown for a seven-day tumah period, and for tzaras, it's sundown that follows the haircut. So if he took a haircut on the eighth day, he's not considered pure until he experiences sundown of that eighth day. And he's therefore not ready to bring the sacrifices until he's completed all of the tahara requirements, including the setting of the sun following the haircut. If that's the case, if he delayed the haircut until day eight, and that's an integral part of his purification, he needs to have a sundown, thereby delaying the bringing of sacrifices till the next day, day nine. And that's what the Mishnah concludes by saying. He can't bring sacrifices unless he's experienced sundown from the day before. So, we saw Rabbi Akiva making a Nazir Mitzora distinction, specifically in the example of haircut on day 8. Rabbi Tarfon, from the fact that he asked the question, didn't seem that he was so sure of it. Now the Gemara asks, Kibla mine olo, did Rabbi Tarfon accept Rabbi Akiva's distinction or not? Toshma the Tony Hillel. Hillel teaches the following Tanaic source. Regarding a Nozir, it says, Gilach b'shmini, mevi korbanosov b'chi. If a Nozir took a haircut on the eighth day, he brings his sacrifices. Again, this is the Nozir that had been defiled, waited his purification period, and instead of taking the haircut on the seventh day, he took it on the eighth day. When does he bring his sacrifices according to this source? B'chi. What did Rabbi Akiva say about a Nozir who takes his haircut on the eighth day? Rabbi Akiva had said he takes his haircut bo bayom. This source doesn't say that. This source says he takes it on the ninth day. In other words, the next day after the haircut. That's when he brings his sacrifices. If you were to think that Rabbi Tarfon accepted Rabbi Akiva's logic, Lacey Carbonosa Bishmini, then this source should have taught the bringing of the sacrifices on day 8. So from here it would seem then that Rabbi Tarfon did not accept Rabbi Akiva's response. Omar Rava, Rava disagrees and says that in fact Rabbi Tarfon did accept the logic. The question is then why, what about this source? Why is the Nozir who took the haircut on day 8 waiting a day to bring the sacrifices? So Rabbi Rava says, Lo kashya, there's no problem here. Ha de tova b'shvi, ha de lo tova b'shvi. If the Nozir who took his haircut on day 8 had immersed himself in the mikveh on day 7, and the haircut was not an integral part of achieving purification, so what was necessary for him? If he had immersed himself on the mikveh on day 7, then that was followed by sundown. Finished, he takes his haircut. He would then take his haircut on day 8 and bring the sacrifices on day 8. However, hadalo tova b'shvi, if he didn't immerse on day 7 in the mikveh, rather he immersed on day 8. The mikveh, as is always the case, needs to be followed by a sundown. So if he immersed himself in the mikveh on day 8, he's not ready to bring the sacrifices until day 9, because the day 8 mikveh immersion demands a sundown before he can be considered ready for bringing sacrifices. Hence, in that case, he brings the sacrifices on day 9, and that's the source that Hillel taught. Before continuing in the Gemara text, and after having emphasized the significance of sundown in the realm of achieving purification, we're going to go into another realm of Tumah, focusing on what's called Tumas Zav. Zav, for our purposes, is a type of emission coming forth from a man, from a male, if he has the emission on two consecutive days, or two on the same day, he becomes a Zav that's required to observe 7 clean days. The conclusion of the seven days, on the 7th day he immerses in mikveh, and after sundown he is considered having achieved purification. There's a situation called a Zav Godol, where he had 3 sightings, 3 consecutive days, or 3 on the same day, and he has, in addition to the 7 days of purification, on the 8th day, after having immersed on the 7th day in the mikveh and sundown, he brings sacrifices. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. A diamond appears. It highlights Chavrei de Reb Noson, its full name Reb Noson Bar Hoshaya in our Gemara, and Abaye. So if you look in the Gemara, you can see Diasvin v'Karmen, that's the first opinion presented, namely the friends of Reb Noson. And then the 4 lines from the bottom, you see another diamond, Amin Elo Ano, that's Abaye's response to them. What is their issue? Im yesh lomar detvuyoim shel zav dino kezav. Ha'in mutar lo likones lemachne levia. Great deal of background is really necessary to fully appreciate this discussion, but this is the nature of the Shas. You encounter topics that from time to time are brought in by the way, which demand previous knowledge from other sources. So just a couple more words of concerning the Zav and the realm of Tumah in general. There are 3 camps referred to in halachic literature, which originated in the Jewish sojourn in the Midbar and manifest themselves later on in Eretz Yisrael, specifically Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. The 3 camps are called Machne Yisrael, and if we use Jerusalem as our focal point, that would include the area within the walls of the city of Jerusalem, Machne Yisrael, up till the walls that enclose the Temple Mount, the Har HaBayis. From the walls that enclose the Temple Mount till the Temple Courtyard, till the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash, that area is called Machne Levia. And from the Azora walls inward, you have what's called Machne Shechina. Different types of Tumah demand the restriction from various areas. Naturally, the more intense the defilement is, the greater the restriction will be. How we establish intensity and seriousness of defilement, that's a little bit beyond the purview of our shir, but we can use as a certain like rule of thumb that when you're dealing with tumos that emanate from one's body, as opposed to contact-oriented tumos, you'll find what's called in Hebrew called Tumas Hayotze Migufo, and included in that is the Zav and the Zova and the Nida and the Metzora. For our purposes, the Zav represents that kind of Tumah, Tumas Hayotze Migufo. The other kind of Tumah, which is not based on bodily emission, but rather contact or presence, that has to do with things even as severe as Tumas Mace is concerned, yet it's not called Tumah HaYotze Migufo. I say as serious as Tumas Mace because Tumas Mace, defilement to the dead, does incur a 7-day purification period, but there's no bringing of sacrifices upon its conclusion, and you'll find the issue of distancing also more lenient when it comes to Tumas Meis than with regard to Tumas Zav. So your basic Zav is prohibited from entering Machne Levia, the Levite camp, which in Jerusalem terms was defined as the area enclosed by enclosed or referred to as the Temple Mount area up till the Temple Courtyard. What we are going to investigate here is a Zav who, upon waiting 7 purification days, immersed in the mikveh. He's called a Tvul Yom, but he did not experience sundown. He didn't experience Harav Shemesh yet. He's called a Tvul Yom of a Zav. The immersion in the mikveh at the end of a Tumah period, even though sundown hasn't been experienced, can be viewed in certain areas of law as an area of leniency or of, we'll say, declining intensity. With regard to what do we say that, well, that's part of our discussion. So we continue in the note that we have on the side, Lefi Pirush HaRosh. According to the Rosh's approach to this Gemara, there's quite a bit of commentary work to be done in learning this Gemara, but we'll follow the Rosh's approach. Yotze, it comes out, Shehem Cholkim, the machlokis between the Chavrei de Reb Noson and Abaye, it's like it boils down to Bezav Bal Shterius, a Zav who had 2 sightings, Im Achrish Toval, Lifnei Sherev Shimsho, if after he immersed on the 7th day of his 7 purification days, before sundown of that 7th day, Im Mutter B'machne Levia, is he allowed onto the Temple Mount? The Chavrei de Reb Noson, Oser L'Abaye Mutter. According to the Chavrei de Reb Noson, the Tvul Yom of Azav, once again, it's the immersion in the mikvah on the 7th day prior to sundown, Tvul Yom of Azav is like Azav. Just like Azav prior to his completing the 7 days is prohibited on the Temple Mount, he's prohibited from Machne Levia. The Tvul Yom of Azav is likewise, according to the Chavrei de Reb Noson, prohibited on the Temple Mount. Abaye, though, sees room for leniency with regard to the Tvul Yom of Azav. He will be allowed on the Temple Mount. Now, the Gemara. Omar Abaye. Ashgachtinu l'chavrei de Reb Noson bar Avshia d'yasvin v'karmen. I met up with the colleagues of Reb Noson. They were seated and they were saying, citing a pasuk from the topic of a Zav, Uvo lifnei Hashem el Pesach ol Moed v'nosnom el Hakayin. The reference is to a Zav who on the, as we mentioned before, he, if he had 3 sightings, has to bring sacrifices. The Zav who had 3 sightings has, in addition to the 7 purification days, on the 8th day, he brings sacrifices. That's what the context of this pasuk is. Amosai hu ba, the pasuk says, and he comes to Lefnei Hashem. When does he come? Bizman shu toval v'osaher of Shemesh. In. Provided he immersed himself in the mikveh and experienced sundown. So let's assume that he immersed himself on the 7th day, then there was sundown, and then he can do what the pasuk says, Baal Lifnei Hashem. Now, we didn't mention before, but let's emphasize, this Baal Lifnei Hashem means he comes to the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash. That eastern gate is known as Shar Nikanor, and its halachic status is Machne Levia. So the pasuk tells us that the Zav can approach machne levia, only if he immersed in the mikveh and had Harav Shemesh of the seventh day. However, lo tova v'osa Harav Shemesh, lo. However, if he did not, in addition to immersing, experience the sundown of the seventh day, if he had only the mikveh of the seventh day, and he's called a tvul yom, he cannot enter the machne levia. Alma kosovar, the result of this is tvul yom shozav kezav domi. The tvul yom of a zav, once again, these might be new concepts for many of you, so we're being a little bit repetitive today. The tvul yom of the zav, he had experienced his seven purification days, and on that seventh day he immersed in the mikveh but did not have sundown. He is like a zav. It's like he didn't do anything as far as his ziva defilement is concerned, and he is not allowed in the machne levia. We can point out that this phenomenon is in contrast to the rules that we would apply to a tvul yom of a tomei mace, and we'll see later maybe concerning the a mace himself. But this is a stringency that will apply to the tvul yom of a zav more so than to a tvul yom of a tomei mace. Whereas by a tvul yom of a tomei mace will allow him in the machne levia. Not so with the tvul yom of a zav. That is the approach of the chavrei d'Rav Nosson. Amin olahon ano. Abaye now moves into the discussion and says, and I said to them, elo me'ato, using your logic and your understanding of psukim, gabi nozir tomei nami. A Nazir Tomei is a Nazir who became defiled to the dead. Dichtiv, it says regarding the Nazir Tomei, Yavi Shtei Soirim El HaKoyen El Pesach HaOmayed. You see again a reference to Pesach HaOmayed, and we'll make the assumption, of course, that this is also a reference to the Machne Levia. Emosai Hu Bo. According to your reasoning, when would the Nazir Tomei be allowed to the Machne Levia? Bizman Shetova V'yosaher of Shemesh. And not before that, only if he, in addition to his immersion on the seventh day, also experienced sundown. But prior to that, if he was just a Tvul Yom of Tumas Meis, would not be allowed. Yeah, but that's very difficult. Michti. Share Nicanor Hecho Kaimen, the Nicanor Gate. Where is it situated? In addition to the fact it's in the eastern gate of the Beis Hamikdash, it's Beshare Levia. It's located in the Machne Levia, a place that a Zav is prohibited. But we know that a tvul yom is allowed. Tvul yom of a mace is allowed. V'ha tanya, tomei mace muter likones b'machne levia. Someone who was defiled to the dead is allowed in machne levia. V'lo tomei mace bilvan el afilu mace atzmo. Even a corpse itself is allowed in the machne levia. Shenemar vayikach Moshe's atzmos Yosef imo. It describes Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu was, of course, a Levi, and it says that he took personal charge over the remains of Yosef, who had died in Mitzrayim. My imo. What does the word imo mean? Imo b'mechitzaso. Imo b'machne levia. Imo in his precinct, which was the Levite camp, the sanctuary of the Levite area. So Abaye is questioning the approach taken by the Chavrei d'Rav Nosson. According to their approach, it would result in something that's not true. It would result in our concluding that a tvul yom of a tumas meis would not be allowed in the machne Levia, and that's simply not true. Elo Tvuyom Shel Zav, and here we're following the Girsa that you find, the version of that you find in the Tosus and the Rosh, it's a major difference. Tvuyom Shel Zav Lav Kezav Domi. The Tvuyom of El Zav, who experienced two sightings originally, 7 purification days were observed. He immersed himself on that 7th day. Prior to sundown, he's called a Tvuyom of Zav, is not like a Zav. The Zav is prohibited from the Machne Levia, but the Tvuyom of a Zav is allowed in Machne Levia. V'afilu hachi, kevon de mechusur kapora lo ayel. If, however, we are describing a Zav that had 3 sightings, that type of Zav requires sacrifices as well. So if we're talking about a Zav that immersed in his, he had 3 sightings, immersed in the mikveh and had sundown, we would not allow him to enter the Machne Levia. V'i b'machne Levia koi, amai ko kori le oyel moye. The pasuk that we saw, which opened this discussion regarding the Zav Baal Gimel Rias, it said, if you want to look back on Omid Mem Dal Omid Beis, we saw Uvo Lifnei Hashem El Pesach El Moye V'Nostam El Akayin. We mentioned that he was standing in the Shar Nicanor, which had the status of Machne Levia. If he is in fact in the Machne Levia, why does the Pasuk use the term Oyel Moyed? Oyel Moyed is the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Midbar, in the sojourn in the desert, there was a portable enclosed area that we call the Mishkan. It had an exposed courtyard. But that is, Oyel Moed is a term that's unique to Machne Shechina. So the Gemara says if the Pasuk is referring to the Zav standing in the Machne Levia, why does the term Oyel Moed appear? Oyel Moed is characteristic of the Machne Shechina. Lameimra, it is teaching us the following. Ma hosam mechusur kapora lo ayel. Just like with regard to the Oyel Moed, someone who has a korban requirement as a result of tumah, and there are a number of those. A case of a Yoledes, the Mitzora, Zav Baal Shalosh Rios. These are people that are called Mechusur Kapora. Their word Kapora is a reference to the sacrifice. They're lacking the bringing of the sacrifice. As long as they have not brought their sacrifice, they're not allowed in the Oyel Moed. They're not allowed in Machne Shechina. So let's read that phrase again. Mahosa Mechusur Kapora Lo Ayel. Af lemachne levia nami mechusur kapora lo ayel. So too, with regard to the zav baal shalosh rios, I will concede that in that case, even though he's a tvulyom, even though he had the hair of shemesh, he's not allowed in machne levia. This is where Abaye concedes to the Chavrid Reb Nosson, this kind of a Zav Tfuyom would not be allowed in the Machne Levia, because he was a Zav of 3 sightings. The Hosam Minolon, from where do we know with regard to the Machne Shechina that a Mechusur Kapora is not allowed? Desanya, we have a source that features a pasuk that deals with Tumas Meis, and I want to emphasize Tumas Meis in and of itself does not necessitate the bringing of sacrifices. You wouldn't describe a Tomei Meis as a Mechuser Kapora. But the Pasuk says, here the Pasuk is explained in fragments. The Pasuk is Tomei Yeh O Tumasoi Boi. So the Pasuk says as follows, Tomei Yeh L'Rabois Tvul Yoim. O Tumaso Bo L'Rabois Mechuser Kapora. That as far as the prohibition concerning Machne Shechina, the Beis HaMikdash itself, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, there a Tomei Meis is not allowed, and the Pasuk includes a Tvul Yom is not allowed there, and even a Mechuser Kippurim is not allowed there. So the relevance of this particular drosha is regarding the end of the source, the Rabbis Mechuser Kapora, a Zav who had three sightings, Mitzora, Yoledis, these are people that had Tuma Yotze Megufon, they're not allowed in the Machne Shechina. So we explained the fact that the term Oyhol Moyed appears with regard to the Mechuser Kapora. We learn that a Zav, Mechuser Kapora, is not allowed even in the Machne Leviya. But a Zav Bal Shterios, says Abaye, who is not a Mechuser Kapora, he doesn't have a Korban requirement, he would be allowed in the Machne Leviya. Of course, in contrast to the opinion of the Chavrei de Rav Nosson, that prohibited the Zav Bal Shterius even in the Machne Leviya. We mentioned just again the explanation we gave to the Sugya. Of course, our hope is that we were faithful to the Rosh's commentary throughout. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.